To me, I feel like if the Lord didn't want me to gain any weight, he wouldn't allow my family or anybody else to put the food in front of me, because I love food. I love to eat. But I think really everybody does. Oh, me. All righty. Well, let's turn to Psalms. Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9. All right. Did all of you have a good week this week? Amen. Here in the book of Psalms, it's talking about what we can have and in the Lord if we just listen to him and allow him to speak to our hearts and then allow us to go about and do what he's asked us to do. But here in verse 1 in the book of Psalms chapter 9, it says, I will praise thee, O God, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the thorns, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the brethren. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thy enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Thy memorials is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh acquaintances for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my troubles, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that lifteth me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathens are sunk down in the pit, that they may in the heat, in the net which thou hide, is thy own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hegi and Selah, the wicked shall be turned into hail, and all the nations that forgot God. For the needy shall always be forgotten. The expectations of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail, lest the heathens be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that thy nations may know them to be but men. Selah. Right here we see where the first of it is 1 through 10. I think verse 10 it is. It's talking about really praising the Lord and giving God all the thanks that he's been there for them through the thick and thin. And then the rest of the verse is that you talk about destruction, you talk about the enemies of God, and you talk about doing wrong, and where they have really failed God at times. But not only that, we can see this morning where it is good when I will find motive power in the thou hast of God. In this Psalms, there is a joyful purpose, a testimony for God, to rejoice in God, an inspiring hope, and a coming king. And there's the power of it. But you know, here this morning, you know, just pray for me, because if I can bring it out the way the Lord gave it to me, where I pinned it down, then I believe we all can learn something from it, but which I know I have, and I can learn more and more. You know, I don't think the Lord will ever allow us to get to the point that we think that we have enough learning according to Scripture. And because And the reason for it is because God is the author of this book, and because God is the author that speaks to our hearts. Now, I know some people, they think that they can read a chapter, and they can read a verse, they can read the whole Bible and everything, and they think that they got all knowledge. There's nothing else anybody can ask them. They can't come up with an answer for, or they can't take you to a verse of Scripture. But just because that verse of Scripture is in there does not mean, and it does not tell us, that we're going to get anything out of it or not. Because I do not believe, and I believe God allows things to happen in our life for learning purposes. You know yourself, and I think me and Brother Bill, we've talked about this before, but you know, you can't learn unless you make mistakes. And I was told that when I was 16 years old, at the first part-time job that I helped, He was an elderly man. His name was Joe Carpenter, down at Motor Parts and Equipment. And I went down there and I just basically called down there to see if they could need some help or something. And she said, well, you come on down here and I'll get you some papers and you go and fill them out and then I'll give them to him and then he'll let you, you know, give you an appointment. So I did. And I went and I stayed back in the office and I filled out the application and everything, my age and how long I've been driving, if I had any driving permit and all of that and wanted to know if I had any tickets, anything. And I said, no. And we went on, I kept on filling it out. And I went up out to the window to give it to the secretary. And she says, he'll give you a call just as soon as he gets it and as soon as he goes over it. I said, okay. So I turned around, I was getting ready to go out the door. And he come through the other door in from his office into the main office. And he asked Rose Larson. Rose Lawson. She was his secretary there and he asked her, says, where's Mr. Mann at? Get him come on back here. She said, well, I didn't think you wanted to see him today. I thought you just wanna get him to fill it out and he'd come back. No, I wanna see him. So she come out the door and I was just had walked out the door and everything. She come back behind me. She said, he wants to see you now. I said, okay. So I walked back in there. The first question he asked me, and this right here should be a reminder for every Christian, that the first question that we should ask anybody is that what we are doing and what we are doing is trying to win and lost. Telling them about Jesus. But he asked me the first question he asked me, and that was the only question he asked. And I thought it was a trick question, which it could have been. But I said, well, I'm just going to answer like it is. He asked me the question, says, do you make mistakes? And I just went on sit back in the chair and everything. And I got to thinking. He said, it's a simple question. Do you ever make mistakes? I said, yes, sir, I do. As a matter of fact, I said, I probably made plenty this morning. I said, yes, sir, I do. You know what he told me? He said, you're hired. He said, because of this. He says, no one that says that they never make a mistake, they can never learn nothing else. An individual learns when you make mistakes. And in saying all of that, that's the reason I say that what we must do, we need to go out and tell the people, I have one question I want to ask you. And there's not but one answer to the question. Are you saved? Now, I know sometime the people today, they will seem like maybe that we're trying to intimidate them or something else. But they don't realize, and I hate to, and I'm going to hate to say this. I know plenty of Christians today And I know some preachers today, they even tell their own congregation that they don't love people. Well, the way I look at that, because the Lord Jesus Christ is a person, individually. The Holy Spirit is a person, individually. And God the Father is one, individually. And that bothered me when I heard him say that. Somebody asked him, the next question was, he says, do you love your wife? Now you would think, you know, that right there, you know, she's right there with him every day. She goes to church with him every day. And he said this. He says, no, I have never told my wife since we got married I've loved her. She says, I told her the night, right tonight, that we got married. I told her then, and I says, I have never had to tell her anymore. And I said to myself, man, well, you're arrogant cuss, I'll tell you that. I mean, you know, I mean, what does it, I mean, God says, hey, we're supposed to love people. God said that we're supposed to love our enemy. Now, I wonder if I asked him that. Well, since you said you ain't ever told your wife but one time that you loved her, and that was the day that you got married, and you haven't told her none since. And you saying in the pulpit that you don't really love people. I said, I want to ask you. Is it the Christians you don't love? He said, no, I just don't love people at all. I said to myself, I feel sorry for you. I said, because you know what? There's some scripture in the Bible that you forgot about. The Bible teaches that we must love God first of all. And then we're supposed to love other people before we even love ourselves. And it also tells us too, tells me, that for that individual that has just cursed me out or just hit me upside the head, that I'm supposed to love him with all cost. You know what he said? He said, well, I'll tell you one thing. If he ever curses me, and if he ever hits me, he gonna wish he'd been dead. I said to myself, all of that. I mean, what in the world is this? What is this world coming to? Really, what is it coming to? I think it's coming to the point that's getting ready to wind down. Getting ready to wind down. But here in verse 1, says, I will praise thee. I will praise thee. We need to praise the Lord in everything that we do. We need to praise him throughout the day. We need to just praise his holy and his righteous name. Why? Because he has done something that no man ever could ever do. And that was when he went to Calvary and to die and to shed his blood for my soul. So I must praise him every day. Must praise him throughout the day. And you say, well, preacher, you know, if you're out here driving, how in the world can you praise the Lord? Out here driving and everything, you got to keep your eyes on the road. I said, well, yeah, you got to keep your eyes on the road. But you know how you can praise him? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for riding with me today. You didn't have to. But I feel your presence. Praise is surely the expression of a full and satisfying heart. We don't give him praise. We don't have a satisfied heart. Our heart hurts. Who's our heart hurt for? For ourselves. For ourselves. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The testimony, the ones that testifies for God. You know, we should always be willing to just stand up. Or son, if you can't stand up, we should always be willing to stand forth and thank the Lord for what he's done for us. You say, well, he ain't done for me nothing but me this week. Well, I disagree with you. He's given you life this week. He's given you strength this week. He's given you ears to hear this week. He's given you eyesight that you can see. And I was thinking about, while I was going over this at the house and everything, I was thinking about that, thinking about the eyesight and what he gives us to see. I can think about, Brother Stump. He's blind. He does not see all the sin that's going around today because he's blind, but he hears about it. But to think about it is, when he gets to heaven, hallelujah, and I believe he's going. I really do. I believe he's going to heaven. He's going to be there with me, and with you, and with the Lord Jesus, with God the Father, and God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and everybody else that's been saved. Just think about this. Think about Dan here. You're faithful for the Lord, and you're faithful in coming to church. And I'm sure since he's missed from coming down here because of Brother Bill and everything, that he's probably never missed going to church somewhere. But just think about this. Think about him in church. That yes, he can see, but he cannot see the things that are around him. He can see the things far off. He can see the things there in heaven. But just think. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, just think about it. When he gets to heaven, the first thing he's going to see, the thing his eyes is going to be focused on is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how old he was before he went blind. But I understand he was probably a teenager, I don't know. But I've known him all his life. Because where we grew up together. We grew up in the same neighborhood. Went to the same school. And the first Sunday that I come in down here, that where he was here, he come. I went over there and I spoke to him. I said, how you doing, brother? He didn't ask for my name. He said, this has got to be Brother Man. He knew me.
I mean, he knew my name right off. Sometimes I remember. I mean, I've been to the hospital. Sometimes they ask me, say, "Well, what's your name?" I said, "What?" They ask me, say, "Well, what year we're living in?" "What? Who's the president?" One time I said Ronald Reagan. I said, "Well, praise the Lord." They said, "No," I said, "he ain't president, not now. But he was a good one." But it was where I was just praising the Lord. You know, we don't give God enough praise. We think if we don't come into church, if we don't come in and have maybe two or three or four songs or something like that, and the preacher gets up there to preach for a half hour or 45 minutes or an hour, and then all of that said and done, and then we pray for, what, 5 minutes? The whole 2 hours we're here, from 10 o'clock until 12, 2 hours. And we give 5 minutes to the thing that we need to do most. And that's pray. You know, I can praise God all I want to. See, that's not where the power comes from. The power comes from Him. The power comes when I speak to Him. And when He speaks to me, and when I answer Him back, that's when the power of God comes down on me. That's when the power of God's in His service. We need the power of God back in the services. We need the power of God back in the preachers. We need the power of God right here. We don't need the power of God outside. We need the power of God right here. And if we had it right here, the churches wouldn't be hurting as bad as they're hurting. And I'm just as guilty as anybody. I shouldn't be, but I am. Yes, I want God's power on my life. Yes, I want God to teach me something. I want Him to teach me something about His power. Teach me something about His truth. And teach me how to praise His name. Teach me how to thank Him for what He's done. And thank Him that where we stand up and we can just speak out and we can just thank Him through our testimony. Testify. You know, you don't hear that much anymore. And people testifying. I mean, I've been in church and I've known them to where they just want to pop up back there. Way back in the back. Says, "Preacher, I want to thank God for saving them, man." Then the next thing you know, a dear sister over here on this side, she'll stand up. She says, "I just want to thank God that He's with me every day. Thank Him for going to Calvary for me that I could not do." Then you have somebody else pop up. Then you have somebody else to pop up after that one. And then you just have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost, God, popcorn, hallelujah. That's when you have people just popping up. They're just popping up from their seat, and some of them ain't never popped up before for their life and everything. And you can tell it. Because they're just as nervous. The words get kind of tangled up. But they get through it. They get through it. See, that's the only thing God wants from us. God wants us to serve Him and give Him praise and give Him glory. In Job 1:12, say, "God,
always limited Satan. He limited Satan on Job's life. He didn't give everything Satan wanted. Because Satan wanted his life. He wanted to be able to do anything he could to Job. But now the Lord come back. He says, no, he says, you can take his cattle. You can take all the land that he has. You can take his family. You can take his sons and his daughters. You can take the grandchildren. You can take them all. But you cannot touch Job. You cannot take Job's life. What he didn't realize was that Job was a righteous man before all that happened. And Job was still righteous when all of that happened, when he went through with it. At the end of the book of Job, Job had more than he ever had before in his life. He had more children, he had more land, he had more wealth and everything. Why? Because he obeyed God. He obeyed God. And these preachers out here, it talks about his wife. Said, how in the world can you? How can you love somebody that you just let them suffer like he did? Well, the woman, she could do. She couldn't do anything about his suffering because of who he was. He could not wait and allow the Lord to do anything to him. He was just doing what the Lord asked him to do. There's been times the Lord's asked me to do something. I didn't do it. And I come to find out later on what happened with it, the consequences that come about and what I didn't do. The powerful reason thou hast of God. This reason, like the purpose, is a threefold. Because of his faithfulness, thou hast maintained my cause. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 4. It is his to maintain the cause of the affliction and the poor in spirit. Psalms 140 and verse 12. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. When our cause is the cause of God, it's not the cause of us, it's the cause of God. Because of his power, thou hast rebuked the heathens. You know, we as individuals and as Christians, we really are not doing things right. We are not really doing things that are biblical. We're falling short. And where we fall short is the people that come in and the people that come in and they will come to the altar, but yet we are not willing to get up from our seat and we're not willing to come forward and put our arms around the individual and pray for them. Don't ask them what they need and what they're praying for. But we need to just pray for them. We just need to lift the Lord Jesus up to them. Allow them to feel the presence and the mercy of God. Because of His mercy. Because of His mercy is the only reason I'm standing here. You know, I know we have His grace, and His grace is sufficient. But I believe we can also say the same thing about His mercy. His mercy is sufficient. His mercy is great. His mercy longs to our heart. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, finding God is the blessings and joy of restoration." The great delivery of the past is the same delivery of the present and the future. We know what the past has brought us. And we know some of the things what the future has brought us. But we need to remember tomorrow does come. Tomorrow comes when He allows Himself to teach us. You know, really God, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He doesn't have no obligation to us. He don't have no obligation to love me. He's not obligated to me and what I do for Him, the way He's going to bless me. I mean, we can go through the scripture and we can probably find some verses that says that He is. But when it really comes right down to when it rubbers me in the road, He don't have no obligation to us. But boy, we have obligations to Him. And we need to allow that obligation to speak to our hearts. And an aspiring hope. The hope of endurance. The Lord shall endure forever. And that's in verse 7. The blessings of God's grace are as lasting as God Himself. He redeems one will to be enriched with a divine life and fullness. The hope of righteousness. He shall judge the world in righteousness. We see that in verse 8. And He shall judge the world in righteousness. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. The righteousness of God. The only way that we can receive that righteousness is through the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and plus doing what He's asked us to do. Yes, we can lose some of that righteousness that we have when we got saved. We can lose some of it because we don't do what he asks us to do. The hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. The Lord shall be a refuge for the oppressed. There's a whole lot of people outside of these doors today, just right here in the center for where we can see. They're hurting. They are in need of something. That's what they'll tell you. They're needing something, but they can't tell you what it is. I just wish the people would realize one thing, that as we go out and as we speak to people, that we have the people's best interest in hand. We don't want them to suffer. We don't want the families to suffer. We don't want nobody to suffer because, see, we know what's going to happen. If they don't do what's right, and when the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit speaks to them, if they don't do what's right then, we know. We know exactly what's coming that way. And they're not going to like the judgment. Because one day we're going to all stand before God. That's the saved and the lost. But when the lost stands there, they're going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, I'm here to heaven.
I don't know you. Who are you? I don't know you.
Then the Lord said, depart from me, thou workest iniquity. Do you know of anybody personally, yourself? You don't have to raise your hand. But if you want to, that's up to you. But do you know of anybody personally, yourself, that you know, that you have talked to them, you've explained it to them and everything, but you know when it really comes right down to the end, if they don't do something quick, they're going to die and go to hell. You know, that's something sad. It really is. One of my good friends I grew up with and I run around with at the time when I was a teenager. Yes, and we got like the world. I was living in the world. But he left that Saturday night, sometime after 11 o'clock, it was before 11:30, going home. And he just had left Skylark that was out there on 86. Just had left. And I don't know where I was at or how I even heard about it. But I heard the sirens and I heard commotions and everything. So I followed one of the fire trucks that went on the scene. See, that 2 days before that, I was with him. And we just out here, went down to the parts place or some parts house or somewhere and got something for his car, and we were working on his car. And I don't know, it was just something there. Something that I was supposed to do. And I didn't do it. That was that Abdul had got saved. I mean, it won't but probably a week since I've been saved. And I went over to his house to see him. And we went down to one of Paul's houses, I forgot which one it was. We got the part that he was looking for. Went back home and worked on the car. And we fixed it. Then he went out. That Saturday night. I knew it was something I was supposed to say, but I didn't know what it was. I mean, here was, I hadn't been saved but a week. I didn't know what it was. See, that was the excuses I was giving. That I didn't know what it was. I'd just been saved a week. I didn't know why. I had no idea who was speaking to me. Saying all of that. That night. And following the fire truck. When we got on the scene, there was probably 30 or 40 cars there. A bunch of teenagers there. And elderly people. They was all there. You come down old 86 down by the Mowbray's farm and crossed over right there at the intersection where we go and go up to the at development up there. And when he hit that low spot in the road, it just dipped down, and when it did, it dipped down, and he went straight up, the car went straight up. Airborne. Where it landed was in the creek bed where the car was never did touch the water. There was no water in the car. There was no water on the car. But he had went nosedive down that bank. And where he hit the nose of the car against the telephone pole. I still see him today. I can still imagine what it must be. You see, I just didn't go. I just didn't talk to him because I didn't think I knew anything. But I did. I knew the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. I knew him. And I tell you, that right there will never leave me. Every time I go down that road, I see the telephone pole that they replaced. And they replaced it with another telephone pole in the same spot. But see, he would have never wrecked his car. He'd have never went airborne. If your road had been done the right way, instead of going in and going this way and letting the road kind of go down, and then he was coming down to old 86, and here's the other road going over into the apartments over there. When he hit the right there, naturally, his front wheels went up, and when they went up, he was airborne. He didn't have control of it. He lived 15 minutes after that. And he was one good friend. And I know that some of the things that we done back then, how can you call them your friend? Well, he was. Even the life that I was living before that time, he was a good friend. I will never see him no more. That's sad. That's the reason I do what I try to do today. Because I don't want to ever have to go through that again and not be able to tell somebody. Because see, God loved him just as much as he loved me. As a matter of fact, he may have loved him more than he loved me. You see, because I wasn't willing to go that extra mile. And Tommy, that was his first name, Tommy. Tommy had rejected him for the last time. God won't speak to him no more. There does come a time when the Holy Spirit does not speak to people. And the people would wish, they would tell you, they wished they would have listened. They wished that it took more time to listen to that voice that they've never heard before. They wish they'd listen. See, he's not always with us. He's not going to always strive with us. The only way he'll strive with us is if we give the Savior praise and glory and thank him for his mercy and thank him for his hope and thank him for salvation. Just thank him and thank him and thank him. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the day. Now, Lord, we just pray, God, that you just take what was said this morning, Father. And I pray, Lord, it was said in a way, Father, that you will be blessed from it. And, Father, not only you, that the people that are here, that is some little nugget in it that they can gather from that to help them. Help them to be more faithful to you. I'm not saying they're not faithful, but we need to all can stand to be more faithful to you. Father, we pray, Lord, for them. We ask, God, you'll be with them. And Father, be with the ones that has jobs that they go on to and work this week. Give them the strength to do the job. And Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for our families. Father, I do not know all the individuals in the families, Father, that's here. But Lord, you do. And you know the ones, Father, that needs you close to them. Father, save the lost. Reclaim that that is backslidden. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. All right. Well.